You are listening to the Morning Review. We've come out again out of what annually, on an annual basis, we have what I believe is a 10-day talk shop on gender-based violence. We have 10 days of activism, which wrapped up last year, which is a period to raise awareness on gender-based violence, but what is actually done? Something that we could consider is not how only do we fix our families, our communities, but also our structures, the actual design of our cities that make people feel safe, and particularly that make women feel safe. There is plenty of talk that I have heard amongst friends that said if men were banned for one day, men weren't allowed to leave a home, a house, an apartment, they could not be out in public, what would you as a woman do? And many of my friends would say, I would go for a run. I would take a walk at night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I would walk in the city streets because I don't feel safe. Whether I'm walking to the corner store, when I'm walking from my parked car to the mall, or even if I live in a CBD area and I'm walking from a bar, nightclub, home. And so how do we build cities, design cities that actually make people, and particularly women, feel safe? And there was an interesting article by Lebogang Lechubo, who is with the South African Cities Network, writing that there is an opportunity for the three women mayors of one of South Africa's largest metros, Ekurhuleni, Nelson Mandela Bay, and of course, the largest metro in the country, Johannesburg, all run by women, to start urban planning and urban design and looking how we make cities safer. Lebogang Lechubo of the South African Cities Network joins me now on the line. Lebogang, thank you so much. How physically, how in terms of infrastructure, how in terms of how we actually plot and plan a urban or a city development, can that actually equate to making women, and particularly, how can that equate to making women feel safer?
Sure. Good morning, Lester, and thanks for having me, and morning to your listeners. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, if men for a day or a few hours were to be locked in their houses, you know, most women would generally feel that way, that they feel better to move around freely and not be a threat. But I think from a design perspective, there are principles that have been developed, and they're actually called the crime prevention through environmental design principles, specifically for South Africa, that can help us design safer streets and neighborhoods. And this is simply interventions that involve increasing surveillance and visibility, so more lighting in our streets, more open spaces, public spaces that are well defined without, you know, dodgy escape routes where if you turn around and, you know, you don't see who's coming right behind you. So those are just some of the physical things that you can start putting in place to make cities feel safer. Even simple things like cleaning up our streets, right? It seems like a menial thing, but if an area is also unclean, no one would want to be there, and then you're also developing abandoned areas, and that's opportunities for criminal activities to take place. But also basic interventions of management, improving waste management, regularizing recycling, managing issues around homelessness. So if we can deal with those urban management issues, I think we create an opportunity even for local businesses in different areas to start playing a more active and meaningful role to keep neighborhoods and places of recreation a lot safer for specifically women and children, because we are ultimately a very vulnerable group in society.
There could be the argument that that cities aren't made out of bricks and concrete and electricity poles and tarmacs and asphalt and roads. Cities are made up of people, and that is just but the installation in which people live in, that if we fix people, we also then fix cities. And when I say fix people, then we deal with the issues of hyper and toxic masculinity in terms of the deep trauma that all of South Africans live through, and just where men usually express that trauma violently and physically against others. So if we fix people, don't we then also fix cities?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the things that I was just sort of reflecting on when I wrote this article, that designing urban spaces with a gender perspective helps us to just see our blind spots, right, and identify the diverse interests that women, for instance, are experiencing in cities, because my experience of a city as a woman will certainly not be the same experience as how a man goes about in a city. And I think that then trickles down into the policy space and why I'm particularly hopeful for our newly elected female mayors to put urban safety at the top of the agenda, is that the female perspective perhaps is maybe not taken seriously enough, and there's not enough women at the table to speak on how do we actually meaningfully make these cities safer for women and girls, and what do we then need to do at a policy level that will trickle down to a design level, and ultimately we'll start seeing these interventions then being implemented in space. And I think you're right about the mindset that, you know, unless there's enough women raising the issues that, hey guys, we're not feeling safe, we're impacted by crime and violence in a very disproportionate manner to men, then I suppose you can start putting that sensitivity then in the opposite sex to say, actually, we're not taking this matter of creating safer cities seriously enough. Mm. And this is getting out of hand, because as you were saying in the introduction, it does feel like every year for 10 days, there's a focus on gender-based violence. But what is the meaningful change happening on the ground, right? We bring awareness to these issues, and I think it's getting tired, quite frankly, as a woman myself. I'm generally tired of, you know, just seeing that there's a spotlight on this thing that's only for 10 days, but we're experiencing this every year in, year out. So what are these sustainable solutions that we can start looking towards?
So you indirectly then address this opinion piece of yours to the newly elected mayors of Ekurhuleni, Nelson Mandela Bay, and the largest metro in South Africa, Johannesburg, who are now governed and controlled and run by women. Do you think they of course they have the responsibility, but should it be a focus area? Do they have that responsibility as women to ensure that cities are designed and made safer for women? Or is that a responsibility for all of us?
It definitely is a responsibility for everyone in society to play their part in making a city safe. But as a person in a position of power, you now have that authority to drive a certain agenda, right? To put certain issues that are often maybe overlooked into the center stage and given the meaningful attention and resources. And understandably, urban safety is just not limited to one department or division in a municipality, right? It requires collaboration across different sectors and departments in a city. But I feel that as women now being our representatives, that there'll be more emphasis on making cities safer for women, putting together initiatives that are more women-centric, because I definitely believe that if a city is safe for women, it will really be safe for everyone else. And the spin-off of safety in a city means that we'll see local economies growing, we'll see investments coming in, because who would want to set up businesses in an area that's not safe for business? So there's multiple spin-offs for prioritizing urban safety.
And that is something that my colleague Rifiwe Maloto has been talking about for the last week, of if we turn and if we design and we implement 24-hour city strategies, it also does contribute making cities safer, which means that is more people about, more people working about, there's we have to then prioritize lighting, security, all that infrastructure that makes cities run during the day and at night. And if we incorporate this designing our, particularly firstly our CBD areas, and we'll talk later about residential areas, then we inadvertently bring business, we uplift the economy, and we make it safer for people who would frequent there.
Absolutely. So it's not just limited to, you know, women and children and vulnerable groups, but it's really meaningfully designing inclusive cities. Cities where women themselves can also participate meaningfully in the economy. People from disadvantaged backgrounds can also start to reap the benefits of the safety, because now you've got people on the streets, people going out more. And as you're saying, one day we'll hopefully find ourselves having 24-hour cities. At this point, it's just an aspiration. But at the rate at which crime and violence is going in this country, it's a long road for us to achieving a 24-hour city. And I think the piece is written with the hope that this is what we envisage for the future of our cities across the country. And let's use women and girls as the benchmark to see if we are steadily moving towards the direction of making these cities safer and more inclusive.
Okay, so these are CBD's business areas where we see commerce. But let's talk about residential areas where people live, and particularly in low-income areas, the connection between low-income areas and the alcohol industry. I'm talking about whether they be unregulated or regulated shebeens, taverns, smokalesa, whatever you have, that you have in your lower income areas. We know that the connection between alcohol and substance abuse and interpersonal violence between people. So it's almost as we need to crack down on that. When I say, not crack down, but we need to regulate that more. But at the same time, when we think of who runs the informal liquor industry in South Africa, 60% of South Africans' taverns and shebeens are run by women. They are the backbone of the South African informal liquor industry. They support families and entire communities. So it's almost as if we need to step back and have a total relook of how we structure our society, employment opportunities, business opportunities, but also look at the impact of what some of these businesses do have on our society as well.
Yeah, I think what you're also touching on now is the diversifying economies in townships, right, and township economic development. And you're correct to say if the businesses that are thriving in township areas indirectly lead to more crime and violence, and that therein is the problem too. But also, it's also how, I suppose, from a national level, how are we meaningfully creating value chains that will diversify the economy in townships, right? How do we introduce manufacturing into townships? Because surely I don't think that women in townships only see themselves selling liquor, for example. You know, there's a range of industries that we could start to expand and grow, but what mechanisms and opportunities are there for people to access those markets and meaningfully then play a role in the economy? So you're correct. You know, those are areas also that will start to impact what happens in these neighborhoods. But I think, given what we have now and what we can start changing, how do we start making all neighborhoods safe, neighborhoods both in townships and in suburbs? Because it's not to say that neighborhoods and suburbs are 100% safe. In fact, in suburbs, safety, in my opinion, is a commodity. You have to pay a heavy price for you to live in a safe residential estate, and I don't think that's fair on any South African citizen. We shouldn't be having to, you know, live in an area just because it has 24-hour security and surveillance cameras, and that's what appeals us to buy properties in certain areas, right? The level of safety.
Very quickly, running up to news, I speak about academics in Johannesburg, of our people feel, who live in Johannesburg, who feel Joburg is dangerous, because they've built up big walls with barbed wire fences and electric fences, homes are fortified in the suburbs in Joburg, but in terms of if you were to reflect crime trends, Cape Town is a far more dangerous city to live in, but the perception of crime in suburbs in Johannesburg is this, so people bold suburbs and townships around them to reflect how they feel. But Lebogang Letsuba, unfortunately running out of time, thank you so much, Rob, the South African Cities Network. Really appreciate your time here on The Morning Review.